guess that's enough of that. So we're starting the AK-47 Guru podcast tonight. We do these every Tuesday night on the Gun Websites channel on YouTube. We have a bunch of people joining us live. A bunch of people show up to watch the show live, and we follow them on the comments over on Gun Channels, and I guess on YouTube as well. So once it's finished recording, it turns into a video, and we take the audio from that. We post it on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. So anybody that might be listening in the future, let us know you're out there. Give us some feedback on the show. And again, we're doing this live on Tuesday.
We're doing this live on Tuesday, March 8th. Okay, go ahead, G-Webs.
Kind of a short show this evening, but I guess we'll make it a little longer. So, yeah, we're doing this live, and when you do things live, things like that happen. We just got cut out for a second. I forgot where I was at. So we posted live, did the podcast, and just going to say thanks for the people that are showing up tonight. We've got a couple people joining us live here. We've got Biker Bob from Canada, who has somehow snuck his way into the United States, and he's in the deserts of Arizona right now.
There you go.
And we got Z joining us from the islands of Hawaii.
Aloha.
And we got Flippy, who's in an undisclosed location in a giant room, sitting quietly, isolated in the middle. Kind of sad.
The great country of Texas.
And we got Dano joining us from behind the enemy lines in Illinois.
Ruff, ruff.
As well as Smeggy, who has joining us from the Mitten State.
How's it going, everyone? Thanks for having me.
All right, so then... So we've got the invitations out to a bunch of other people, so we might see some others joining us tonight. If you're of the ilk to want to join in on one of these chats, when we've got the room, we do pay attention to the comments coming in on the Gun Channel side and on the YouTube side, so feel free to ask for a link. There's no guarantee. I do like to keep a couple of seats open for the famous guest stars that might show up. Tonight we're going to be talking about furniture, so that implies the handguards and, I suppose, gas tube and the pistol grip and the stock, and we'll talk about whatever that comes up with that for a while. We also wanted to talk about projects with the AKs. So when we were talking about subjects for tonight, somebody had just kind of mentioned a coffee table project that was kind of AK related, and I've seen so many of those over the years and heard people describe them and what might be cool. I thought that might be an interesting segment for tonight, and then we'll follow it up with patches, since we just started a new campaign over on Indiegogo. We want to kick that off, and I'm a patch nut. I've been a fan of patches since I was a kid. I guess probably being in Scouts didn't hurt that or help that much. So I've always been a fan of them, and now that there's Velcro, they're even better because you don't have to choose one to put on your bag or your shirt sleeve or something. You can now just swap them out whenever, and whenever you're doing that, it kind of lends itself to having a section of your wall to be a patch panel, so that as you're deciding which patch you're going to put on your bag or your hat or your arm or whatever, you can store your other one somewhere, and then once you've got a patch panel, it lends itself to a collection, and once you've got a patch panel with a collection on it, it lends itself to a second patch panel, and once you've started down that road, you become a patchaholic like some of us. So I know there's people out there that are even more into patches than I am, and there's people that could care less about the things, but they are interesting, and a whole bunch of them have to do with AKs. Most of our patches, the patches I've made, have to do with AKs, but that's because I'm kind of weird. But aside from mine, there are lots of others out there, and I figured we might talk about those tonight. So aside from all of that, we'll hit whatever comes up in the comments and questions that come up along the way, and we'll kick it off. I'm going to go get something to drink, and you guys can start us off. Where do we start with furniture?
Do we start with issued or standard, like what it comes with, or are we kind of going into like aftermarket stuff, what you change it to from, say, the basic?
I'm really partial, personally, to office chairs. Like, I love a good computer chair.
I like the idea of going with the, starting with the hand grips. I mean, that's the thing that's really personalized. That's what everybody holds on to, I mean, other than the forehand. And I mean, there is a whole thing with the, I think it's the Yugoslavian that have the grip on the forehand. What's everybody think about that? Would you like to have, you know, a forehand grip, or do you like the standard type, just regular AK-47? Do you like the grooves in it? I mean, I find that really interesting. I mean, like I say, I shoot a VZ-58 because that's what I get to shoot in Canada. I would love to have an AK. I mean, I think they're a more primitive gun, but, you know, they're still a really cool gun, and I think they function really well. And they have all this neat shit you can change on them. So, I don't know. Or maybe not change so much, because they always, there's all these variations that you can't change the furniture from this to this to this. But there is all this neat stuff on the different AK variations. So what do you think for pistol grips? Do you like the wood? Do you like the plastic? Do you like the what?
Well, for example, I just recently became an AK-47 owner. It did come with the polymer instead of wood, whether it was the folding stock or the foregrips. One thing that I do kind of feel, which I'm content with, but one thing, a piece of furniture that I am considering changing is the pistol grip. I've definitely been talking to a few people, whether in the chats or online, and looking stuff up. It's not that there's really anything wrong with this pistol grip, you know. It's just either I kind of want it to be just a little bit bigger, perhaps, or perhaps a different texture. Because it is also polymer, as with the rest of the furniture on this particular rifle.
See, yeah, so I might... Aesthetically, do you prefer the wood or do you like the polymer?
I like the look of the wood. I don't actually own one that is wood, though, however. It came with the polymer, and I'm probably not going to attempt to change that, to be honest with you.
Personally, I like the wood. I like the, you know, the old style, the just as original as possible, you know, that kind of stuff. So for me, I like the wood.
Aesthetically, I really like the wood.
I've heard that before about you, Smaggy.
Let's keep focused, gentlemen.
I was just going to talk as far
as... I only even started the AK podcast so that I could sucker a bunch of you in here so I could record you saying that, so now I can hold it ransom and blackmail money out of it.
I'll say it anytime. I don't care.
Come on. Okay, what were you saying, Dan? I'm sorry.
Aesthetically, I really like the look of the wood, but functionally and practically, the polymer has it pretty much hands down over the wood.
Yeah, I do agree.
I don't know. There's something endearing to me about, like, granted, they're not the best guns, but, like, just a simple Wasser 10 with wood furniture. It's just, like, it's simple, but it's nice. Either way, personally, I really don't care that much. Like, my current one right now, which is the SLR 107, and I love it like a child. As soon as I got it, threw away the plastic hand grip because I just don't like them that come along with it, and I threw on a U.S. palm grip, the only grip that should be on an AK.
The pistol grip are you talking, or the hand grip?
The pistol handguard. Handguard, okay. I basically leave pretty much the same. Although there is a fellow I've recently gotten into contact with on Tinder. Wrong story. No, yes. Other guy I met who apparently makes these really cool, like, original style AK stuff. It's called
the Ironwood Designs? Okay, nope, I've heard of that guy too.
Yeah, like, he does crazy, crazy good work when it comes to, like, refinishing, like, AKs and wood and stuff, and he's really, so far, the only one I trust to, like, play with my wood.
So is he redoing the original wood that it came with, or are you buying something that he's done and refinished and you're getting an extra set?
I'm going to be buying an extra set. Okay. However,
just for people wondering, what does it run?
Oh, for like the wood set by itself, with like the finishing, is about like two something, around 230. If you have wood already and you ship it into him, it's like $80, and he'll refinish it.
Okay. Z, do you recall what Ironwood Designs charges? I thought they were quite a bit north of 200 something.
Well, if he's talking 250, I think it's over 3.
Yeah, that's
three,
what I seem to
recall. 3 towards 4 almost.
Yeah.
I've looked at Ironwood Designs for my VZ, and it's like outrageously expensive. It's more than what the gun cost me.
Well, but you're talking about handcrafted workmanship, though, too.
Right. This is not stuff that came out of the junk pile that somebody refinished. This is he's cutting it from scratch, from a tree.
But the VZ-58 is all milled, and it's hand-worked gun. So, yeah, it's like, eh.
I was talking about the furniture, Bob.
And that's, you know, that almost kind of brings up something I was curious about.
It costs more than the gun.
Okay. Anyways, I was just kind of curious about, you know, you talk about swapping out furniture or whatever. Now, a lot of times, isn't it kind of tricky to do that? Because different AKs are kind of made with different tolerances and stuff. It's like not quite as easy as like an AR where everything fits perfect. Am I wrong in that?
I am not sure. I've never had the opportunity to change it out as of yet.
It depends on the model.
Yeah, wood's a lot more tolerant too. I mean, you can. It's pretty easy to shape wood if you're a little bit tight and stuff like that. Than it is polymer.
Well, it depends on a few things, and typically, if it's like too big, you just sand it, carve it down yourself, and then make it fit. Which was what I was told when I originally got an IO. And decided to slap all kinds of garbage onto that. I had metal rails on that thing for days, and it weighed like 80 tons. It was great. And I couldn't hit the broadside of a barn with that.
So you
Sorry, G.
No, go ahead, Z.
I was just going to say, so it sounds like you've been introduced to the IO for some time. And is that where you formed your opinion of the IO?
Yeah. As I got it, it was a very unenjoyable experience. So I learned very quickly why it's worth paying the extra money for something along the lines of a SLR-107, for example, and how great Arsenal is at producing AKs versus how not great. IO is at producing AKs.
Now, there is a possibility that you got a Monday or a Friday as opposed to a Wednesday. Wouldn't you also see that as a possibility?
I would argue that they're all Mondays.
Well, let me ask you a question. Describe the rivets on the gum as far as were they completely seated down? Were they pressed in too hard? What was...
I think one way to describe them is they're all on the receiver and not the furniture.
Hey, guys, I got a bail here. I'll talk to you guys later. Take her easy. And good chat so far.
Okay.
Okay, right. Bob. And I'll yes, that's a valid point.
I'll let your rivet question go this time, but then we'll keep it on furniture.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The rivets were fine. It was just that it wasn't assembled correctly, and it showed.
I forgot this was just wood. My bad.
So I noticed that Dano posted a link over on the Gun Channel side. Thanks for that. One of the reasons we built that is because you can't post links on YouTube. So it's not that we just don't like YouTube. It's that they don't let us post hyperlinks over there. They let me post them, but, anyway, so thanks for posting that over there, Dano. And that's one that I don't think we've had already on the AK Buyer's Guide, so we'll add that. So I wanted to bring up, since we're talking furniture, you guys kind of started talking materials, I guess, but just because we're trying to assemble the buyer's guide as part of all these chats, what all sources do we know for furniture on AKs? I mean, we've got some obvious ones like Ironwood, the U.S. manufacturer of realistic shape and dimensions and materials, but 922R compliant. Then we've got the Magpul and that kind of thing, and then we've got things like the Troy and the other companies that make rails now. So we count all of that stuff what, how many sources can we come up with?
What's the one that's Tapco but wood? It's
Timberwolf.
Is that what it is? Yeah, and it's usually laminate, seemingly, but I've never seen the product in person. I've only seen pictures of it on the internet, but I would have to say that it looks good and durable, and oh, yeah, it is less, considerably less.
Well made, for sure. I mean, it doesn't look right, you know, correct, technically accurate, I guess.
Right.
It's interesting, and when I first saw it, I forget what year, at SHOT Show, I was kind of walking past, and they had like a SKS all dolled up in it, and it was kind of neat. It wasn't your typical, you know, that Chinese band-compliant, weird-shaped, you know, thumbhole stock. This was some pretty neat stuff, and it looked really sharp with the two-tone laminate wood.
Yeah, well, there's also Midwest Industries that have been doing AK stuff for a while, and they're pretty good at it.
Does Apex also do furniture, or no? I know that they do a lot of parts of the AK. I just wasn't sure if they did, like you just can order, like say Yugo Furniture, you could order the kit or something from Apex Parts. I may be mistaken, though.
I don't actually know. And then there's also Mako, which I would be cautious of just because it's not art compliant. I forgot the numbers.
It's you're saying it's not American made is what you're saying, yes?
Right. Mako, other, like, I'm not saying it's a bad product. The product they create is fine. It's just Israeli, so it's not going to be American made and will count against your R92 compliant.
922R. And
yeah.
Apex already?
Yes, that was one that I was wondering if Apex actually, because I thought you could get furniture sets from them, but I was not positive.
It seems to come and go on Apex, where they'll have some, and then they'll sell out, and then they'll have some.
And Mako seems to make mostly or only polymer or plastic furniture parts, yes?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, has anybody, are there more places that anybody's aware of? I'm sure that there are more places that provide furniture, but does anybody know of any furniture that's not wood or polymer?
Yeah, Midwest. They do, like, actual metal rails and stuff. And I believe it's UTG. They also make AK stuff as well. However, I will say that there are specific models that the UTG stuff will not fit. However, with the Midwest Industries, I've never had a problem fitting that onto an AK. I will say, however, it is very heavy.
Well, it's made of metal. And you're talking about the handguard, basically, right?
Yeah, like the handguard.
Because
US Palm, someone said in chat, but I don't believe they do handguard stuff. I believe they're just a grip, like a pistol grip.
Well, if I've learned anything from We Like Shooting, is Manticore Arms. Sven, he definitely makes handguards for the AK. Other than that, again, I'm sure that there are more that we're missing.
Oh, Krebs Custom is another one that does AK stuff or AK handguards.
In fact, Apex does have brand new stuff too that they do normally have in stock all the time. I'm looking at it now. I just wanted to verify it before I said it.
Excellent. Yeah, I was just throwing that out there because I thought I had seen it on their site previously.
Yeah, but as an example, the under piece is like brand new is $19. The upper piece is like $16. Again, this is not for a Yugo. This is for the two-vent type pattern.
Which then, that is something that we all must consider, basically, is when we're talking about all this furniture, are you talking about, is it furniture that's originally created for a Yugo, or, you know, and if you don't have the right type of rifle, you might be trying to get furniture that you think looks cool, but it's not going to fit on your rifle,
exactly.
Whether it wobbles, wiggles, doesn't fit right, or you have to do all the alterations yourself.
If you remember, it's not an AR, and don't assume things are interchangeable. If you remember those two things, it's hard to go wrong. Because even if you go, as an example, like the two vent hole slot in the handguard, still doesn't mean it's going to fit.
Right.
But well, here's the thing about the AK. You know, it's a little more hands-on than the AR. There are multiple platforms. Sometimes there's always going to be fitment issues. Sometimes there's even fitment issues within the same builder, right, within the same company. One batch of Serbians may be different than the next in a little, in slight variances, slight ways, you know. So fitment issues are always the thing with the AK, but that's part of the fun of being an AK guy is being more hands-on than just putting stuff together like the AR guys, you know. Because I know a ton of people who say they're AR builders, and all they're doing is, you know, following the directions. Yeah, right. They're following the directions to an erector set.
Right? Mule, may I ask you what kind of furniture you have on your various AKs?
Okay,
I mean, I believe I know from your videos, but I just wanted to ask.
Well, on the PAP pistol, I kept the stock one and just did some refinishing work and added some Picatinny to it, right, so I could make it more comfortable to me. Okay. On my first Wasser, I ended up going with a UTG underrail that I had to custom fit so I could use a Ultimac, right? Because I'm an Ultimac fan. And then I picked up a handguard from an old East German styled but made here in the US back in the day, 80s, little plastic dong under for the underfolder.
The donkey?
But, yeah, the donkey dong. But that's one of the things I love, why I'm not an AR guy. I built an AR, assembled an AR, you know, followed directions, you know, like putting together an old hot rod, you know, from Revel, you know. And it shot great, good rifle. I love the fact that it can do that. But the AK is a little different. The AK, you need to be a little more mechanically inclined to mess with. It's simple as heck, but you need to be willing to take those chances for fitments and stuff like that, especially with handguards.
Have you changed out any of your pistol grips on any of them to this point?
All of them.
Really? What did you go with?
But I went with first the Tapco saw grip on one. I still have it. I like it. It fits my hand nice. I got big. I'm a larger human being, right? And then I got a Hogue grip on one and a TDI grip that I got from El Tenda Fabrizio as a gift on the other, which is a really nice, man, that grip I love. I fell in love with that even more than the Hogue.
Well, that was kind of going to be my follow-up question was, which one, if any, do you prefer over another? But it sounds like the one from Fabrizio is where it's at.
Yeah, it's just, it's really nice. I mean, you know, is it good for a combat rifle? I don't know, but you know, for my hand, it works great. I love it. It fits nice. It feels good in the hand. You know, it's not that little broomstick that you get from, you know, General.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Do you feel that the pistol grip was a little small for your hand?
Yeah, like I said, I got meat, right? So, and I feel for the big Russians, right? They have to deal with that.
I think most Russians tend to be small Russians.
Yeah, but there are a few, you know, Ivan Klitschko's or whatever the hell the dude.
Yeah, I've definitely Rocky. Met larger than smaller as the ones that I have met, but I also have a very limited pool.
But that's the beauty of the American market finally embracing the AK is we get to do what we do best, which is make shit better.
And make it our own, so to speak. You know, if you wanted wood furniture that wasn't necessarily historically accurate, or if you wanted some type of different stock, you know, I mean, granted, some will change or interchange, whereas then also, though, due to whether it's rivets what's the word?
If you got a screw build, take it apart, send it to a real builder, and get an AK.
And get him to assemble it correctly.
Yeah, if you in some used place bought a screw build, then I'd tell you, go get it done right, you know.
Well, I even mean, like, trying to think that you can go from a fixed dock to an underfolder or a side folder, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you don't have the right receiver to start with, it's going to take X amount of work to be able to change it out where, you know, if people are used to being with the AR, you know, where, oh, I can just change it out for anything or whatever. Whereas whether it's 922R compliance or just the fact that that receiver was not built to do what you wanted to do, you know, and those are some of the things that you got to be aware of before you think about changing out some of the furniture sometimes, right?
Well, it depends, right? So if I wanted to go with an underfolder for, say, my first AK, I would have had to tap into the receiver, which can be done, right? You can cut those holes in the receiver yourself if you're a decent machinist, right? It's not rocket science. And with the side fold, with the side folder, well, unless you're going for a true spec Russian one, on the American market, there's a gorge of side folders out there you can do. You can make it do it any which way you want.
Yeah, like Magpul has their own side folder.
They're making for the women nowadays because you know we do that with pistols.
Mm-hmm. Well, they make it for anybody.
And that's why I wanted to show this picture of the pink furniture is again to although the AK is kind of new to the American scene as far as being popular. That, you know, trying to get women involved, it's just another way of trying to get things moving in the right direction.
Let's well, not we also know.
You know that pink stock could also be used if you had a 9mm AK.
There you go. And I was going to say, not only women appreciate the color of pink, so I wouldn't say that it only limits to.
There's a panther women. That I know that likes it.
Look, I like pink, but only on the inside, right?
So. Right.
If you spray that brown on the outside and you leave it pink on the inside, it's all good, right?
Now, G, you were talking some about clean versus battle. Are you kind of talking about having rails or no rails or red dot on it? I'm just trying to...
Well,
or are you kind of saying... Because he also then said tacky versus smooth. And I kind of think I understand.
Before we go off on that, can I just say that, you know, I'm one of the side folder... I like side folders because I like smaller guns, which the AK can get super compact. And I went with the bone steel. That's what I mean about aftermarket here in America.
Yeah. It's
glorious. I went with bone steel, and this is before anybody, you know, real small shop, nice guy. I ended up talking to the guy. His name is Chris Bone Steel, right? That's how long ago I bought it, where he was still answering his own damn phone.
Nice.
But that's the beauty of the AK, man. It's every day new stuff for the AK comes out to make it more your personal gun. Now, I personally love the original, right? Your old school AKM, you know, the one we saw in Red Dawn, you know, all kinds of different places that you saw it growing up here in America. I love those, right? But for myself, what I like the updated versions and all the stuff we can put on it because it makes it a more comfortable thing if you're really going to use it. All the things that you can put on it to make it quote-unquote tactical these days are actually useful. You know, red dot sights, lights, a hand grip.
Oh, yeah, like the Ultramac or the Troy, which I guess is what PBR would be bringing up right now if he was here. There is another group that I forgot about that is super bloody well awesome. Called Zenit Co. And if you want some like industrial, like I am taking this thing to war tomorrow.
Well, that so let's see some links here.
Well, Zenco aren't they? They're the Russian version of Magpul, basically.
Well, they make their stuff out of like steel, though. Like they're the Zenco is the stuff that like you would see the Alphas, like the Speznet units using.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're the top tier. They're the top tier in Russia for their local produced tactical stuff for the AK. Some of it looks clunky as hell, though. I mean, I follow Rob Ski, and he's got a buddy over in Poland who still deals with the Russians, right? Dimitri or Demis or something like that. And they're always showing really super cool pictures of the Alphas stuff and people who they train with that are Russian. And all that stuff looks great, but it looks heavy as hell, man. It really does. Like their version of a folding stock, man, talk about complicated.
Yeah, like their folding stock, not only does it like fold, though, it also like extends out and raises up and like it's crazy, but yeah. And then, of course, there's also Rifle Dynamics, who have their, if you really like the AR style stock on a rifle, I would say definitely go to Rifle Dynamics and pick up the AK to M4 stock adapter. Like, that's the only one I've seen so far and actually got to use that was worth anything. Like, that thing is solid, and it actually, like, raises up the cheek weld on your stock. So it fits better. You don't have to, like, put, like, 5 of those Magpul, like, bracer things on it to, like, raise it up.
Oh, yeah. Well, the way, Jim, if you look at it, the way, well, and you've used this, so you know, it covers, it shrouds the rear tang.
Mm-hmm.
So, but in doing so, it raises it up so much more than most of the aftermarkets do, which use the rear tang as the top point of their stock. Rifle Dynamics uses the rear tang as the midpoint of their stock, and that gives you such a nicer cheek weld. Again, Fabrizio has one, so I got to use it on his Rifle Dynamics gun. And you're right, if you're going to do that, that's the best way to go, in my opinion.
Because then you can put like a real mil-spec like buffer tube on it, and then pick up like a SOP mod like B5 stock onto it, and you're set. Like it's going to work. It's not going to break easily.
All right. So what Z was asking about before is we've pretty much you guys been talking about new stuff and 922R compliance stuff. But what about putting together an AK in the battlefield pickup type of arrangement, or the classic, how it came, how you're setting up your new parts to match your parts kit, the condition of your parts kit, I guess I'm saying.
Now that is definitely more my speed. That's what I enjoy.
Oh yeah, making it look battle worn and just using like. Remember when bulk and stock kits were super cheap after the Serbian wars in the 90s? And you get them in with all that trench art, you know?
Oh, I'm young.
Well, I was more talking to my peers. I'm old.
I will say, though, that a little while back when those Iraqi contractor AKs came into, like, Atlantic Firearms, and like they were going for like $400 a like gun. They were neat. I was unfortunately wasn't able to get one. However, I'm not gonna call him a friend, but a dude I knew got one. So like I went with him to the gun shop one day to see like what it was gonna be like when he picked it up. It was neat. Like the metal and all that was worn around all the edges, where like there's bits of like silver peering through. The only glaring flaw in it was apparently the contractor who had that AK before him got bored while they were like guarding something, I guess, and decided to carve a giant wiener on the stock. So that was endlessly funny to me.
That still is funny. I definitely keep that stock on it too.
Like, it was great watching, because he's going through it, he's all excited, sand is just pouring out of that thing, too, like, we ruined that dude's floor, but he's all excited, he flips it over, and just instantly, giant frown, just like, dear God.
Yeah, I don't know about the crudeness of it, but the idea of trench art, like, I think that's cool to know that it's that authentic. Like you said, some dude was bored sitting guarding your... Or hell, maybe there's even like hash marks in it or something, you know? Like, every time you take someone out, you carve a line in it. Like, that kind of stuff. So I think that's cool. I like the authentic stuff.
Yeah, I follow along with Smeggy. I'm not so much up for the third grade art, but for something that actually has meaning to the person, to whoever that person was. I don't necessarily need to understand it, but you know, definitely adds a cool factor that's difficult to describe.
Well, let me go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna kind of ask for, you know, how much is it to pick up, you know, extra stocks or something, like, you know, Milsurp or whatever, because I wouldn't mind having a nice one and then having one that I do my own artwork on. It might not be trench art, but it's still something cool to me.
Well, it varies. It pops up all the time. Like, you can find them in a lot of places. Occasionally, though, Rifle Dynamics, they'll have extra for whatever reason, and they'll just put them up on their site. Like, last time, they were selling a set of surplus Romanian wood for, like, $25 for the set.
Yeah, and over at Apex, there was a Polish and I want to say Hungarian, I'm not sure. And it was just a similar price. I mean, and it was brand new wood.
Yeah, keep an eye out. You'll see Apex coming up with them. I mean, heck, even Sportsman's Guide sometimes will come up with them. It's just paying attention to when, you know, and seeing when stuff's out there. You'll find really good deals on especially old wood, you know. So I just keep an eye out, because that's a great idea, Smeg. You know, do your own thing. I've always thought about it, doing it on a wood stock, and if I ever reverted my first AK to being, if it steps down from being my go-to, it's going to go back to wood and go back to the original look. And I was thinking of doing a similar thing with doing my own version of trench art, because I've seen some people do it and it looks gorgeous.
Yeah, but that gorgeous is a level of talent that I do not possess.
No, nor I, but that doesn't mean I...
Did Smeggy cut out for you guys?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. I would just say that just means templates in the router, you know?
Yeah, that's true. It just I think of it, you know, is it going to be art or simply tracing?
Well, what makes it art is the artist. So
right, the freehand artist, I guess.
Whether he's tracing or carving or whatever.
Because the guy out, you know, in a trench or something, he's not using a template. He's doing it freehand.
Okay, we're about a half an hour in, and I'm thinking this one's going to go a little bit long because I've got two more, like, themes for tonight. So I'll throw out a couple of topics, and we'll see how much there is to talk about them. But the concept of, well, first off, we have to put out a warning already, because we should have probably put a disclaimer out earlier in the show that we're not here to save you any money, and some of the things we talk about will cost you money. So one of the things that happens, like you guys were mentioning, buying a second set so that you could do something else with it. What's going to happen when you have this AK that you bought, and you bought it with whatever furniture on it, and then you bought this second set of furniture? How about the second time you're swapping the furniture back, you're going to start thinking about getting a second AK? So then you're going to have these two AKs, and you're going to know what it's like to have one and have the second one, and you're going to be comfortable with it. And how easy is it to add a third? So you're going to end up, or you could possibly end up on that path, so be careful. But with that in mind, you set your AK up, you get it for whatever purpose you bought it for, you maybe set it up for a second purpose. How much of a factor are keeping it streamlined and good to go, ready to use if you have to for the ultimate purposes of these things, keeping them, you know, not fragile, keeping the essence of the AK there, strong, simple, and streamlined. So I guess, well, I was thinking about that when you were talking about the Hogue grip. The Hogue grip with its finger grooves and its tacky feel is great until you start, I mean, my experience with it, running them is, you know, in classes and stuff, and they start catching on people's straps and on things, they pull out mags and stuff, they start affecting your gear as they interface with it, and what would something might be great for the range, or like you guys were saying, some things were great for their comfort and their ergonomics, they start losing appeal when it comes time to be slapping that thing around and shoving it in and out of bags or in the, you know, between the seat and the back seat or something. And, you know, in practical use, they start to, you start to see the appeal of the simple light grip of the simple handguards and whatnot that, you know, created the Kalashnikov for what it is.
I understand that. I've had that happen to me with the whole grip, so I know exactly what you mean. You know, where it starts catching on stuff while you're trying to move around, because I don't. My range time is different than a lot of people's. There's no benches in my range, in the ranges I use, so it's always run and gun, always moving gun, stand, sit, whatever. So yeah, I've had that happen. That's why I like the TDI, because it's the best of both worlds. It's that kind of squishy, grippy feel, but there's no texture to it. It's real slick too. And I know for me, problem with the whole grip is when I sweat sometimes, it just seems to build up in the grip too. So I like keeping them streamlined. That's why all my guns, like my truck gun, that's kept streamlined. My underfolder, I've kept that as basic as possible, because bells and whistles break.
And add weight too, right?
Yeah. But the gun next to my bed, the rifle that goes next to my bed every night, that has the light, that has the red dot, that has the angled foregrip on it. Everything else, I try and keep as light as possible. Red dot at the most. And foregrip for the Pat pistol. But, like, for the underfolder, that's bare. There's nothing on it. I'm not even putting an Ultimac on that.
Yeah, my underfolder, I prefer it naked or bare myself. And that's how I've had it, and that's how I'm going to keep it.
Well, how about bare naked?
Or bare naked.
I like my SLR 107. I like my women naked. And holding a U.S. palm grip.
I don't have any accoutrement other than a sling on mine, but I only recently just got it within like 2 weeks, so I don't even know. So it's pretty slick or streamlined right now. Whether I intend to keep it that way or not, I'm not even sure myself.
Yeah, Island, I can't stand for that. You're going to give me your address. I'm going to send you a U.S. palm grip.
Don't even worry about that, but I appreciate that.
I will throw the caveat out there that on my other AK,
that's how the palm grip. I run them on all my guns that I use.
Oh, you do?
That's the only thing I'll run. They're awesome.
Oh, well then, of course.
I wish they'll
let you send me one.
They're listening. I wish they were paying me, because they are the only grips I would use.
Okay, wow. Now that to me, because I know that you have built and or bought probably more AKs than I'll ever hold in my life, and to me that's a testimonial right there.
Yep. Everybody's interface is different, everybody's bone structure is different, everybody's preferences are different, and it's a pretty intimate thing. It's your point of contact, you know, with your trigger finger and your pretty much your main grip on that firearm. So what I like and what you like might be different, but for me, the U.S. Palm having a smaller diameter around right at the base of the trigger guard, and then it kind of flares out in a smooth way without any finger grooves or anything, allows me to keep my thumb and my, like, what is that, your second, your FU finger, kind of on control of the gun, my trigger finger loose to do what it needs to do. And because I've got that kind of conical shape below, my other fingers aren't as critical, so I don't have to think about them so much. And by basically just telling my hand to close, I don't have to worry so much about the thing slipping out. On some of the others, of course, you got other things helping you with that, but for me, having it be kind of just hard plastic, it's smooth for all the other applications. Like I was saying, when it hits gear and it's sliding around in things, it doesn't really catch on stuff. It doesn't find out my sling.
Yeah, like, I love mine. I have it on every single one of my AKs. It feels like it's a part of my hand.
Well, that's probably a good thing. And I like the theory of it not colors, on gear.
They make them in enough colors, you can match whatever you're going for, so if you care about that kind of thing.
However, I will not say the same thing about the U.S. Palm magazines. They're not as good. But they know how to make a grip, and if they're out there listening, please, please make a butt plug for your grip.
They used to make them. They
cut it because it was like $5 more or whatever. I'm like, okay paying the extra $5. Please give me a butt plug.
And I'll have to add, I personally like US Palm mags. The only problem I have with them is I wish they had put a four plate instead of keeping the bottom. It's not serviceable. That's what I don't like about them.
Yeah, like that's my main problem.
Great mags till they get too dirty. And I don't baby my guns. They go, like I said, getting a mud bath on a weekend is not an unusual thing for anything I'm carrying.
Nice.
All right, since it's slipping into the magazine realm, we'll pick it up out of that area and keep going on. So, like I say, we've got other things we could definitely cover with the furniture. We kind of did the general furniture subject tonight. We could easily get into 922R since that applies, as well as the rails, of course, and then the different stock options. So we'll probably address all of those in future shows individually. But tonight we're going to keep going with another subject, and that's the kind of another general subject of AK projects. When we were talking about the furniture subject earlier on the Gun Channel side, in the chat someone brought up a project that they had thought about doing where they were going to take some of the Bakelite pistol grips, which are really inexpensive. If you do a search for them or you go to the gun show and keep your eyes open, you can grab those dozens at a time really inexpensively. There's all kinds of people now that like to clean those up using mineral oil and stuff, and you kind of bring that Bakelite swirl out of them, and they almost glow. Some of them really pop. So his project idea was to take a bunch of those grips, and I'm not sure exactly what he had in mind, maybe different countries or different styles or colors or something, or maybe a consistent color, but basically lay out a bunch of pistol grips, put a piece of glass on it, and use it as some sort of table or coffee table. And I think we've all seen the shipping crates that people will take the top off of, put a glass cover on it and some lights or something, and make some really interesting coffee tables that have the display going on inside. I'm sure we've seen the ammo crates and stuff also turned into pieces of furniture or shelves or things. So I thought we'd do projects like that. We were talking a little bit before this about some of the stuff we'll see as we travel, different areas where people will make kind of handcrafted art, I guess, sometimes using AKs or elements of the AK, or creating our images of the AK, or maybe using the spent brass or something like that. I've seen lots of different art projects that way. So I thought that might be an interesting topic for the next bit here. So with that general topic in mind, what do you guys think? What did you?
I love that kind of creativity.
Yeah,
I've had one in mind of taking a airsoft AK and turning it into a lamp, like an airsoft folder.
And I was talking about it in the chats here. I posted links earlier, and somebody posted a link to some kind of crazy art type of website where you buy art stuff. And there's those lamps. If you buy one from the place that kind of started that, there's those some kind of painted gold AK lamps things. Mm-hmm. $345. I mean, even the most expensive airsoft, which you wouldn't need to buy, but even with a budget of $100 to buy an airsoft that looks accurate, could whip together a lamp that's more practical than these things for much less.
Well, one day I was in my cups, and I was looking at the underfolder, and I could see taking actually a real gun and doing it, and then I was like, yeah, I'm not doing that, but. And an airsoft I could definitely do it with, because
I love that airsoft store today. That those freaking guns are expensive. Like, they had the Rifle Dynamics AK for like $500. They had like just a regular SLR looking one for like $400. I was like, good god.
Yeah, no, I'm getting.
Yeah, there's the kind of spring
whatever
for playing little games for kids or stuff where they're not really airsoft as much as a blown out plastic shell that looks a lot like the gun it's supposed to emulate.
Right, because when I was working it out in my head using a real one, all you have to do is take out the bolt and the recoil spring, and you can wire it right up through there. You know, and it'll look beautiful on a base. You know, have it come straight out the barrel. You know,
it would look. Would you have awesome. The trigger would be the switch? That'd be cool.
Yeah, and it would be easy to do. right? Because you're basically gutting the center of the gun, no matter what it is, plastic or real, you know. So, yeah, and I just thought that would look cool as anything. The reason why I was thinking underfolder is because if you put it in an L shape, it will be stable, and then it doesn't even need a base, you know.
Well, so I was thinking with if you're going to do something like a lamp or something on the wall, use an airsoft as a hollow piece of plastic, so you don't have the you know, heavy weight issue and the top heaviness that a real AR or a real AK would be sitting on the table.
Yeah, but even like you said, using any kind of creative, I'm amazed the creativity in America, you know, anywhere in the world, just people's creativity, but here it just seems to be, again, we're lucky to be alive at this time in some ways here in the AK world in America. Lots of wonderful things are happening. I mean, come on, a 50 caliber AK. Whew. That's an art project right there in itself.
Yeah, that's stupid. Cool.
The rugs, that the tourism rugs, where they've got the AKs and the grenades and whatnot.
I guess they're rugs. The Packy rugs, or the prayer rugs, whatever.
Yeah,
those are great, but you know, I don't have a loom.
but they're, you can get them. I didn't pay $100 for them. They were, you know, you catch them on eBay, and I think they're neat when you have any kind of a collection or something. They just kind of, you know, good way to put something like a flag or something behind them. Gives you something for pictures.
Oh, yeah. I know what you mean, but just art projects with the AK, man. I'd like to see a lot of it. I'd like to see people post it on gun websites, post the pictures of your AK art projects. That'd be awesome.
Or an even better place to post those would be the AK Buyer's Guide.
True. Sorry. Wasn't thinking. But I'd love to see people's version of trench art, you know, like Smeggy was talking about. I know there's people, woodworkers here in America, that are doing awesome stuff with their firearms that we know nothing about.
Also, I just want to take a second because we were talking about the that Bakelite pistol grip thing. Currently, eBay, there is a seller who still has 10 left selling them for $3 a piece.
Sorry about dead air. I was trying to unmute myself. Center Firearms usually runs specials of like 10 for 10. You know? So yeah. Go look around the net, not just eBay or whatever. It depends upon what your project is, right? But if you're doing stuff in bulk like that, I mean, I know plenty of people sometimes Center Fire just throws an extra pistol grip in there for you. You know, it's kind of funny. I've gotten stuff from them and ended up with a pistol grip and, you know, AK stuff, and it's like, oh, wow, they threw a pistol grip in. Look at that. Because every once in a while they run good specials on ammo, so I'll buy from them. Somebody mentioned bayonets. I'd like to see an AKR project with bayonets because they're still, you know, Romanian Type 1s are still running pretty cheap. You know, you can find them all over the place. I'd love to see somebody do some kind of art project with that, with some AK bayonets.
I've seen some, like, plain old art, like, so if you hang on the wall, which, you know, anybody could come up with that, I guess, just made out of gun parts, and I've seen some of that with bayonets. But I saw a chair one time that was pretty cool. But, yeah, you're right, there's, you know, there's oftentimes you see when they have stuff that they're destroying, you know, big pile of bayonets just as big as the pile of rifles almost. So you'd think that somebody would come up with some practical use for those things.
When they put it on the wall, would they use like a shadow box for the parts?
What? Like a crest or something. Like they'll just, I've seen things where people just like weld like shapes out of gun parts. I don't know. Just what am I trying to say? Like sculptures, I guess.
Like the bayonet thing would be kind of nice if it radiated out like a sun. Pardon me, like a sun on a round glass table, kind of. You know what I mean? So if it was underneath the glass or something like that. But I wanted to ask, Are there crates that hold AKs? Like, is it like, could you steal the idea from the guy that made the Mosin table and make an AK coffee table?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, AK crates are a little bit shorter than a Mosin case, but they hold 12 AKs with their magazines and other crap. So there's plenty of room in there, and you can... I wouldn't put 12 in there. It's kind of expensive, but you could easily get a shipping container. The crates used to be like $50 or even less if you picked them up, and I'm guessing they're a little bit more now, perhaps, but they still come over in those things, I think. Or they might. So... or maybe they don't, actually. They probably come over in just cardboard boxes now. But they're affordable. At least I would imagine they're still affordable because they're the kind of things that not everybody wants, and they do exist, and people see the value in them. So, you know, unless there's a fire or they have to move or something, they're usually around.
So if I was interested, where might be a place I would look for that?
Well, J&G Sales used to have tons of them, just tons and tons and tons, but they don't. So I would say the big importers like... Copes and who's the other
Century.
One? Century has them. They're down in Florida for you, though, but Copes is near you. That Circle 10 isn't far from you guys. I don't know if they actually, they might have them.
And I'd call J&G still. You know, I'd still call J&G because you never know. They might have stuff in the back that they haven't sold yet.
Yeah, exactly. That doesn't, just because they don't have the giant stockpile out in their parking lot like they did years ago doesn't mean that they, that just might mean that they just don't have a stockpile. They might still get rid of each of the crates as they come in. And it's just maybe, you know, if you let them know, then they let you know.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't hurt to email, like, a company and just ask them. Like, you can email, like, Circle 10 or, like, Atlantic Firearms and just ask, like, yo, do you still have, do you by any chance have any of those, like, wooden AK crates? And would you be willing to part with it for money?
Right, or VZ or something like that. You know, that old motto of the SAS, he who dares wins, you know? If you're looking for it, be kind of bold and just go ahead and ask. All they can ever say is no.
And who knows, it might be something that they hadn't even considered, and it might potentially be... whether it's a big market or a small market, it might open up new revenue streams for that company where they'd be happy to start moving them, you know, potentially.
Also, this is an AK channel. This isn't a channel about buying things. We're about communism over here, not about capitalism.
I don't know about all that.
Don't you know the Chinese have turned it into capital communism?
Yeah. Wondrous place, China.
Well, now, that was one thing that nobody had mentioned was, is the Chinese furniture, I guess we're not on furniture anymore. I was going to say, is it any different, but I guess we're on to art projects now.
Well, I can answer you quick, though. There are slight differences. Like, there are... every country that makes AKs make them slightly different. There's slight differences. Slight tolerance differences. There's just slight differences. And so that's where that fitment comes in for furniture, right? Most of the companies here in the United States make their furniture to be able to fit a Wasser, right? That's what they do stock for. They do it for a Wasser. And because that's the most general AK... with a little bit of fitment, everything else will fit on just about every other gun except the Yugos. The Yugos are the big different. They're the big different ones when you're still in the AK realm. When you get up into Dragunov and, you know, the 308 guns and the 5.4 guns, everything changes. But otherwise, it's always just slight fitment. Man, I've seen people take MOE. You're welcome. MOE stuff from Magpul and fit it to Yugos just because they're willing to take a Dremel to it or a file to it. Like, in the AKs, you might have to file some metal off somewhere along the line. You know?
Yeah, it's less it comes with Lego. Like, it's less Lego and more Birdhouse.
I wouldn't say Birdhouse. It's less Lego and more, you know, Rat Harley.
You know? Okay, I can understand that analogy.
You know, a derby car.
Yeah, okay, but, you know, that kind of thing where it's you know, part of the roughness is its charm.
Yep.
You know?
Well, I just threw out a link to what I consider to be the ultimate AK project, the Egyptian Battle of Ismala. I don't know how to say that. Ismalia? I don't know. So anyway, they made a monument in, what, 92 for a battle that happened in 73 between the PLO and the Egyptians, and they built this building-size artwork that's basically an AK bayonet with the muzzle sticking out of the ground. It's pretty awesome.
It's link amazing. On all sides. It is an amazing picture. Because that thing's got to be, what, 40 feet tall or something?
Well, dude, that's a handrail on the in the big picture. That's a handrail up there, so that thing's multiple stories tall.
Man, that make an awesome poster.
Gee, Webb, you have a mini version of that in your backyard, don't you?
Anything, so, I'm not going to comment on anything that might be seen through Google Earth.
It's so tall that it has one of the flight beacons or whatever on the top, it looks like.
Well, look at the trees below it.
Yeah, that, like I said, that's amazing. It kind of makes me want to. Oh, it wasn't. It was between the Egyptians and the IDF, not the PLO. But either way,
same thing, right? They're the same thing, right?
No, but okay.
Yeah, and what that means is they're memorializing a battle they lost. The Egyptians.
Yeah, to the Egyptian soldiers who died, I guess, is what it says on the thing.
Yeah, oh, okay, because, yeah, Israel has not lost anything against the Egyptians yet, so. Still. Oh, okay, so they're calling it. All right, I see what the, I see how they spin it.
Yes.
Yeah. We stopped them from coming into the territory they didn't want to come into. Oh, awesome.
Hey,
but still,
you gotta find a guide wherever you can sometimes.
At some point.
Huh? That, it looks awesome, dude. I still think that would make a great-looking poster.
And I guess it's on the Suez Canal, so everybody going through there sees it. And if that one picture that's kind of further out, you know, it's just sitting there in the middle of the desert, so it's not like there's a city around it or anything, I don't think.
Yeah, and actually it looks like it's kind of looking at it from the Suez Canal, like somebody floating by.
Yep, well, those pictures are both courtesy of the U.S. Marines. That's from the Marines website.
So, more than likely, that's exactly what happened. They took the pictures from a boat floating down the Suez. Still, you got to admit, that looks cool as hell. You know, the front sight post. You know, it doesn't. It kind of, sort of, maybe the right type of muzzle brake, maybe.
it almost looks like a slant brake.
Yeah, it kind of does look like a slant brake.
Yeah, it kind of does. I'm critiquing a building. I'm horrible. I got such a... damn, where did this AK... I blame my damn cousin coming over from Ireland, bastard, in the 70s. Gave me the love of the AK.
Yeah, I'd have to admit, G, I don't think I've seen anything of that scope or magnitude as far as like an AK project goes. That's kind of above and beyond, man. That's,
well, if we're talking kind of, I mean, I'm reaching a little bit, but I'd say another thing of this scale would be the Mozambique flag having the AK on it as a symbol of individual resistance or whatever. I think that's kind of neat. But again, it's just because now, you know, the UN is literally flying an AK. Because if they have to fly their flag, and you know, it's an official flag, so it's everywhere. There's a list of flags of the countries. There's an AK on it now, thanks to Mozambique. It's not really a project as much, but
no, but it's definitely, it was art inspired or what have you, for sure.
Right. So then I'm gonna, I don't know if that really transitioned us into the next thing about this topic, is two things more, at least the two other reasons why I wanted to bring this up as part of the scope of the AK-47 buyer's guide and just this conversation that we're having about Kalashnikovs all the time, is as far as art projects go, or as far as, not to say even art, but maybe whatever you call furniture, you know, as far as projects that are outside of the actual gun realm, but then have, you know, can benefit from some flavor, is a couple of things that, let's say you build a coffee table that's just cool, you know, just, it's got the like we were talking, I think we've all, I'm assuming we've all seen the shipping crates that they'll take the top off of and they put the lights in them, and it's a nice little diorama or something of usually some Soviet stuff or some old stuff because they're usually older war crates or something, and then the paraphernalia and stuff inside is, you know, period from the time of the crate. But you have something cool like that, that's the kind of thing that can break the ice when you have people over or, you know, some kind of event at your home, and it's a non-confrontational way of easing them into the concept that firearms owners can be just regular people who appreciate the history or appreciate the design or appreciate the functionality or appreciate the anything they want about these things, and they're not necessarily always dangerous or always, I don't know, whatever the media wants to portray us as. So I think that's an interesting way to let people exercise their creativity and their craftsmanship, but with a bit of a purpose. And if maybe they didn't realize there's a bit of a purpose there, then I just thought I'd throw that out there. I'd like to, you know, keep that emphasis going as far as, you know, just keeping people's minds open and that kind of stuff. So projects you might do around your home. I guess something else that would apply to this is Foose didn't jump in tonight, but he has sort of like the die cut. I would say it's much larger than like a decal for your vehicle, but you know, the same material, that vinyl that you cut and it has the adhesive back. He bought one off of, I'm not sure if it was eBay or something, Amazon, where he gets it and it's in a big roll, and then the cutout itself is much more than life size, so it basically spans the whole wall behind his couch. And again, same kind of thing. It's just a cool graphic on the wall, and you know, Foose is a normal guy, so when he has people over or whatever, they're going to see that. They're going to understand that he's a gun guy, and that there's some you can appreciate the you know, just the art the same way you might have a race car or something. Oh, there we go. It's good timing.
But on demand.
So for the people that are watching live, I'll lock your screen up here, but that's what I was talking about. It's an old real milled AK. The only thing I would have done differently is put that selector down into the full auto position, but otherwise it's pretty cool. And, you know, that's the kind of thing. A restaurant might have that up or something, and it's just cool, and it's bringing guns out into the world without being confrontational. Really.
Hey, Foose, are those your IPA targets? Are those your IPA target?
Here, let me turn my volume down. Well, I bought those off Stegger.com, but yeah. It's.
Well, did you shoot them with your AK before you put them up there?
No. But yeah, I think I got that off of, I want to say Amazon or eBay. I can't remember. But I think it's 48 inches long.
And it didn't break the bank, right? Obviously, you. Was worth getting.
It was like 35 or 40, so it really wasn't that much.
But to address those like steels you got there, those are a little like for dry fire or dry practice, right?
Correct.
You just happen to have them there next to it.
Yep.
So again, I just wanted to have this section of the show to hopefully, again, encourage someone who's thinking about it. I mean, maybe if you're, I know people that make like. Woodworking stuff, woodworking projects and stuff, and you might be thinking of what to do for an inlay or, you know, a new challenge. You know, why not make it an AK thing? If you take stuff to a craft show or something and you're looking for, you know, again, a new challenge or a different type of project, you know, those lamps and stuff, they're selling for $340. I'll throw this link out there. I've never heard of this LX Press place. I'm assuming it's something like Etsy or an eBay maybe for art or something, or furniture, I don't know, but it's something that one of the guys in the Gun Channel's chat posted earlier to kind of show or to ask if that's what I had in mind for the art projects. And just scrolling down this page, again, I have no affiliation with them. I do not encourage anyone to buy anything there. The prices look insane. But what I want to show people is if you scroll down that page, there's some weird 9mm Beretta things that they call AK-47s for some reason. Then there's those gold lamps where they look like an underfolder, I think kind of what Neil was talking about, where the lamp is like up at the top of the muzzle and the thing is setting on the rear trunnion. And like you say, if you made that out of an airsoft or something, you could buy that airsoft gun for $25 and put the rest of that lamp together, but just go to the Goodwill, or not Goodwill, never go to Goodwill, excuse me, go to Salvation Army. Goodwill is a rip-off scam where the guy's making millions and he's scamming people to think it's some sort of a charity, go to Salvation Army, get yourself a lamp, and just gut it and put it into an airsoft gun. Go to a flea market with six of those and sell them for $100. Make yourself some money. Look at that thing above it. There's a bunch of pieces of pipe with some, again, somebody went to a Salvation Army and bought some lamp parts and jammed them into some piece of pipe. I don't know if it looks like an AK-47. It kind of looks like somebody didn't know how to wire their outside spigot. But they're sticking it on a wall, and they're selling it for $249. And you know there's some idiot restaurant out there that's buying those by the dozens, right, buying 10 of those things. They're thinking they got a good deal because they don't know what money costs. I want to encourage the people listening to this podcast to start making these idiot AK-47 pipe lamps and selling them and make some freaking money. If there's people out there buying this crap because of their crazy ideas of the AK, let's be aware of that and fund some projects of your own with this craziness. So I was just amazed by that.
Hey, Gene, can I have one thing, your little rant?
Yeah.
Don't go to Goodwill. Okay, they are true. He's 100% right. They are a scam. All that stuff that he gets, it's a ridiculous scam. He's making millions off of people's charity that they think they're giving. He gives no charity. Okay.
Never.
Yeah. And it just doesn't have to be AK stuff. It could be, you know, make stuff with the, you know, casings. You know, pull some bullets and do stuff like that. It doesn't just have to be about the rifle. It could be about the ammunition as well.
Perfect, and that's we're leaving it there. We're leaving it at the range for no reason. I guess you could say we're leaving litter. I don't like to think that because these are ranges, and show me, you know, a golf course and all the crap they leave behind. We don't litter, but you know, you're going to leave that steel behind because there's no value to it. But you could, like Fusa saying, a simple little welder, a little tiny arc welder, can zap that stuff together. A little hobby welder, that could be a perfect project for a kid. Literally in other countries, little kids are tasked with building little projects out of spent metal cases. And then it's so easy to pick up. One little magnet, you got all of it.
Well, actually, on the range thing, anytime I go shooting, I carry a roller magnet with me. You know what I mean? Because I shoot mainly steel.
The things you'd use at a job site to pick up loose nails or something?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what I use it for during the day, but yeah. Yeah, exactly that thing. It's just a little roll along, and that's why I love shooting steel, because steel cased ammo, because it's a lot easier to clean than the damn brass.
You know, you can make stickers and stuff like that, you know, for AKs as well. I mean, it could be a number of things.
Well, I know my buddy Rebel, just like you, he took a page from your book there, G-Webs, and started doing AK stickers and AK t-shirts and stuff like that. You know, and he's trying to turn it into a business.
Yeah, he's doing great. Not only mastered the making the things, but his designs are crazy. He's definitely able to, you know, it's not like he just has the tech side down. He has the creative side down, too.
Yeah, and it's...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Start. No, go ahead. I'm a bullshit artist. I don't like dead air. The only time you'll let... I let dead air only happen when my mukes mited. Muted.
Oh, I love Dead Air. Dead Air is a great, like, alternative to, like, silencing or whatever. Because I personally would love to have one of those, like, coffee table books. Like, a little while back, Larry Vickers came out with the 1911 version, where it has, like, all different pictures of, like, 1911s. I want a version of that, but with the AK. So if any would-be people out there wants to create something like that, I'll be more than happy to spend stupid copious amounts of money on it.
All right, well, I'll sell you one for a lot of money, but there's at least four that come to mind that are already printed. We'll have an entire discussion about the library at some point, but yeah, there's quite a few that are literally, you could almost say, picture books with just varieties. Then there's some that have more detailed writing, and we'll definitely go into all those. I have one on the way from Russia that should be here any day that... We'll probably make it next week even, because if I get it by then, I'll be thinking about my books instead of pizza, one that was hard to find.
Nice.
But anyway, if you guys would, I've got to step away for a second. Let's keep going with it. We have another subject to breach here, but if there's anything else about projects, let's address those real quick.
Here's a nice coffee table book, and it's sitting on my coffee table.
Ah, the Kalashnikov bayonets.
Right next to my new video game. But no one wants to hear about that.
Well, I know when we were talking about furniture earlier, did anybody talk about 922R compliance?
No, we just kind of skipped over it.
Oh, you mean for like actual the AK furniture, not furniture made out of an AK?
Right. No. We were talking about AK furniture earlier, and I had come in late, so I didn't know if they had talked about
it. Oh, we glazed right over it, basically. I think one of the things I was saying was like how you might have a Yugo, or you might have a Hungarian, or you might have, I guess, a Bulgarian, you know, so on and so forth. And just because you think you want, like, say you see a website and that's the furniture you want to put on it, you know, how was it imported? Is that part of your parts? You know, if it was imported in such a manner that it was imported with the foreign manufacturer parts to start with, right? That directly affects the 922R, but it would be already included in the magic number, correct?
If it was import, like the Romanians, when they come in, right, they generally come in with Romanian wood on them. So, yeah, all the 922R compliance are already in. When they get to Century, they swap out the internal parts and usually the pistol grip, right?
Correct.
And they do this to be able to leave. Yeah, and they'll switch out the muzzle device to one that's an American copy, right, to be able to leave that furniture intact. So when you get a Wasser, you can pretty much put any country's, you know, furniture on there, and you won't go out of spec for 922R.
Well, unless the company is using a pistol grip as part of the 922R, then you have to be careful.
Well, I think he's talking specifically on Wassers on this one.
Well, I mean, even with Wassers, they'll come in, they'll swap out the guard, the grip, and...
Yeah, but they'll give you the American version of the AK grip, right? So...
Correct.
Yeah, you have to be careful. You have to be careful, yeah, right? Well, so
is this something that the final consumer needs to be careful of, or is this something the importer needs to be concerned about?
This is something everyone is concerned about.
Okay. Can somebody, and I'm not trying to stir the pot, but how many people were arrested last year, individual final consumers, out of compliance?
Hold on. G and I have had this conversation a lot. You know, we've talked about it a lot on the webs, and each individual is responsible for 922R compliance. How many people have been arrested for 922R compliance? I don't think any, right? But that doesn't change the fact that you're still breaking the law.
Yeah. Well, there's lots of laws.
No doubt, and that's on each individual. Look, I'm a libertarian. If you ain't hurting me, I don't care, right? But that's on each individual. The way the law stands is if you take a gun that was built, if you take an American gun, you can put whatever the hell you want on it, right? If you take an import gun, you have to have 9 American parts in it.
I mean, there may be ghosts that are real, but let's not get into chasing ghosts.
Well, here's the thing. It's not that the ATF is going to come up and bust you, right? It's that if you are in trouble for something else, that's going to be a pile-on charge, basically. It's going to be an additional thing. It's not going to be something that they're going to pull your car over and go, oh, hey, Sid, this guy, check this out. You know, it's not going to be like that. It's going to be something that...
I'm going to suggest somebody might live on an island surrounded by sharks, and that means that anytime they want, they could take somebody out into a rowboat and murder them and throw them into the water, and the sharks would eat them, and there'd be no evidence left over. So does that mean that it's okay for them to kill just because there's no repercussions? I suggest that it's a law, and it's up to us as individual citizens to decide whether or not our ethics deem that we're going to oblige, obey the laws. And if they are, then you obey.
And that's what I'm saying is on an individual basis, we decide if that's something we want to comply with or not.
Right. And that's the thing. But it is the law, right? So when you're doing so, you understand you're breaking the law. Whether it's a nonsensical law or not, you're still doing that.
And occasionally I unintentionally or intentionally speed, and yes, it's breaking the law, and I am aware of that.
Yes, so, but speeding so basically, doesn't put you in prison, though, if you are found breaking that law.
If you want to do that, just go ahead and take it to a gunsmith and have him swap your gas piston, and you should be fine.
Yeah, that's I was going to say the same thing, Foos. Same wavelength there, Foos. Look, there's so many internal parts. You can have every part inside the gun be 922R compliant, so you can do whatever you want with the outside.
And that's also part of, I guess, was what I was trying to work towards, is you can do things so it's not even an issue, so we don't need to worry about it.
Right. I mean, if you look at a lot of the, some of the custom guns that come out, they're semi-auto guns, but they look like, you know, you can get it done to where it looks like a full, you know, a straight-up 1960 AKM out of Russia, right? And probably have all the furniture from it, but most of the internals are going to be American-made, you know?
Yeah.
And to keep it 922R compliant and legal.
Plus, with some of these imports, they may swap out the fire control group and throw in a U.S. magazine, call it 922R, which is technically correct, but you got to watch for that as well.
Yeah, but see, there's ways around that, too, if you want to have that period looking correct, as long as you're not worried about it being period correct 100%, right? So you gut a European mag, you throw in Tapco follower spring and floor plate, bam, there's you know, two parts right there, right? Tapco or some American made trigger group, there's four parts. Piston done by some American company, you're just about done.
And then the muzzle device that says Tapco USA on it, and you're good.
Yeah, and you're good. And the whole
So, I mean, you just have to make sure the URL was 922R compliant. Six parts in an AK. Milled AK, it's five. So.
And, I mean, if you want to be that outlaw, so to speak, you know, that's, you're making that choice. You know, one of those silly things where ignorance of the law is no excuse, right? So if that's what you choose to do, that's what you choose to do. If you choose not to, well then, you know, I don't think that there's anything wrong with being all right with that.
And we are not saying do it. We're not.
Yeah.
Just take your own advice.
We are officially definitely saying comply with 922R. Oh, it's ridiculously foolish to run around doing something with a firearm that's not compliant with federal law. It's ridiculous. So I'm never going to suggest that it's not okay to comply with
it. It's not a moral or ethical issue.
That's what I was meaning, G-Webs. My words were wrong.
Thanks.
I apologize. Yeah.
Yeah. Does this count as AK artwork?
Yeah. How much was that?
That's $130. I saw it the other day and almost bought one. I don't even smoke.
That lighter was $130? No way.
What I just posted.
I'm interested in how much that lighter costs, because I've seen the shotgun versions and the fishing poles, and they're like less than $10.
I've seen the occasion about that much.
Why, you want one, Pete? I'll send you mine.
Well, if they're available out there, I assume there was, but I just never seen one. I think I've seen them at Big Lots. Where'd you end up getting that one?
I got this as a gift, so I will not be helpful.
Oh,
okay. I got mine at Farm and Fleet, and I don't think you have one out there in Arizona.
On Amazon, they're $19.64.
Ooh, that's nice. How much did you pay, Mule?
$7.
Nice.
All the safety Nazis will be very happy.
Look at the muzzle flash on that thing.
I know, it's insane, dude.
Oh yeah, these things are cool. You know.
That brings something else to mind as far as projects go. You guys may have seen the little metal guns that I've got that are a little smaller than the ones Smeggy has, but you know, all kinds of detail and stuff. I've seen people use those as on plaques or memorial, like thank yous kind of things, and they're pretty cool. So you check those out on like eBay. You can usually get them right from Hong Kong pretty cheap. And even the little dark Barbie doll kinds for G.I. Joe guys can be pretty detailed as far as painted. And they can be even way cheaper. They can be like less than $7 or $10. And if you're putting it on like a plaque or like underneath of a flag or something, or maybe the unit patches, and you can probably get AR same way. Keep that kind of stuff in mind. You can really go from you know, something like a wood engraved to wood engraved with a three-dimensional little metal and wood gun makes it pretty cool.
One of the pictures that I had linked earlier was actually somebody had carved the double eagle into the buttstock of an AK. So, I mean, if you know somebody that is a woodworker or something like that, that's, I mean, because not only is that art or whatever, but trying to think of where that was, what link that was.
I got it. Hold on. I'll repost it.
Because it's amazing, the double eagle on that buttstock.
I'll put in internal and external.
All right, well, I know we're going quite a bit over probably on this show, so let's move into the next topic. I wanted to address that art one or that project one, and hopefully that we can address this one again in the future when people have had time to kind of stew on it a bit. But I suspect besides just the stuff we talked about, there's probably all kinds of other interesting things that could be made with the Kalashnikov as a theme. So moving on from that, I did start a new project here. Basically, we did the AKID cards last year, and that was very successful, and successful in every aspect, well, not every aspect, but in most aspects. I kind of got a lesson in international shipping, but there was also an issue with the patches. When you get 1,000 patches, here's a tip, ration them out. We thought we had more than we thought we had more extras than we actually did, and then we did a mishap with the number that we sent out to people, and that ended up screwing up our total count. So we ended up being a bit shy, which isn't a big deal. I mean, it's not I think the campaign was overall a success. Those were like an extra bonus anyway, so nobody got shorted on anything they, you know, were guaranteed to get. However, it is kind of a dick move. So we would like to get a small order of those, but if you have any experience with this kind of stuff, the smaller the order, the higher price point for each individual one. So in order to get a larger order going, we're going to do a crowdfunding effort to do a limited number of a unique patch, which will basically be the same patch, which is the art from the back of the playing card, which is just a bunch of the art from the various cards in a kind of a mosaic or something. And we did the original patches that came along with the decks as the exact same artwork as the back of the cards, and that's what we're going to be getting more of. But then we're going to do one that's, what is that, inverse, with a black background and white rifles on it, and we'll just do 100 of those only. So if anyone wants to jump in on that and get another AK patch, if you missed them during the Kickstarter project or just didn't even participate in the Kickstarter project and wanted to grab one of the original patches, those are going to be available. We're going to run that one just for 15 days because it's either going to work or it's not, so we're not going to waste everybody's time for a month. This one's also being run on the all-or-nothing type of situation, so since it's not there's no opportunity to buy a smaller order of these things, we either have to buy a minimum order or not get them, we're going to make this one like kind of an all-or-nothing. So you're not obligated to anything unless the project actually completes, and it's actually a pretty high project. It's $1,700, so we'll find out. It's kind of a short run, but we did want to try to attempt it, so we started that one just earlier today. And since we're talking about patches, I thought we'd talk about AK patches for the third segment of this show. So obviously a bunch of the patches that we've done over the years are related to the AK. That's just my personal taste, but there's lots of other patches from the AK out there. There's the official stuff, you know, the Spetsnaz patches will typically have a crink in a fist or something. There's some of their other special units will have an AK as part of their, you know, emblems on the patch. Then you've got different countries doing that, which I'm not so familiar with, but I'm assuming they're out there. You've got things like Mozambique, we talked about earlier, who has it as a part of their official crest, so I'm sure they've got some sort of patches or unit insignias that might have their AK on it. Then we've got all the morale patches here in the U.S., of course. We could probably talk about which one is the most famous, and then we've got some of the newer stuff. As far as patches from Atlantic, I can think of right off the bat. They did a really cool underfolder silhouette that's pretty darn cool, even though it's their, like, you know, company logo type of thing, or company, what do you call that, like, merchandising type of thing. It's a really cool patch. So with that topic, where do we go from here? What do we talk about as far as AK patches? Have you seen some that you like a lot or that you wish you could have gotten when they were limited run or anything?
Well, classic one that I always think about is the AK Operator Gene. That or one with that's just a bolt head. Those two are always classic.
I haven't really seen too many bolt heads. I'm going to start doing one of ours, but have you seen one already?
Let's see. I'll put it in the internal. It's kind of a mock-up. It's really not, this one is not a patch, but...
Yeah, I've only seen the bolt heads and stickers. I haven't seen it in patch form.
I've seen it in patch in one place, but I haven't seen it. I'm not finding
right.
it. I'm really looking for it.
You know, my style is to make them that are so the gun guys know what it is, and everybody else just looks at it, you know, like, oh, that's a shape or something. And that's why I think the bolt face is cool in the ARs, but, you know, it's an AR, so it's about time to get an AK one out there. The question is, do you do it in the actual shape of the bolt, you know, so it's more almost like a cross with some shapes inside, or do you do it round, you know, like the chamber might be, and then just have the shapes all inside?
Check out that link from the internal that I sent.
But I know on the sticker I've seen it where it's only the bolt face. You know what I mean? It's not inside the chamber. It's just the bolt face. But which and it's I like the look, you know, of the AK bolt. I like that more so than the AR bolt. But I'm just an AK guy.
Well, I do too, because the AR bolt looks sort of like maybe I kind of think of a World War II patch or something. You know, it kind of looks like those Air Force patches mm-hmm. or something where like AK. Who knows what that is? And this, even when it's oriented the right way, even a gun guy might not know right off the bat. It could be some weird anything. Who knows what it is?
I mean, I used to see those things like all the bloody time and had no clue what on earth it was until I got an AR-15, and then it just kind of dawned on me one day. I'm like, oh, that's what that is. Huh.
Well, that's the secret squirrel language of the gun community, you know?
Like someone just doesn't know these things, just looks at it like, what, that's weird robo dong, but okay.
And then, of course, you know, we're talking about patches, and we can never forget about the spam can patches.
Spam can yeah, patch.
I love mine.
I like the Kalashnikova Classic that's like the Coke logo.
Yep.
I don't have one of those yet, but I know that I want one of those.
Those are cool. I don't know what the story is on those, though. I'd like to find out, because I'm sure somebody came out with it first, and I don't know if they even claim to own it. Or if they do, but I know that I've seen the Chinese ripoffs all over eBay. You know, it's hard not to buy the Chinese ripoffs.
Yeah, I haven't seen the trademark on them.
Yeah, I mean, that's a thing. Sometimes they don't have them, so there's just, you know, we all know Mil-Spec Monkey. I'd say he's the granddaddy of morale patches. If you guys are mm-hmm. familiar with morale patches, I mean, most of the like classic ones you're familiar with are his. So, I don't know. There's just so many of them out there now.